There's a lot in the parsha about who you can marry and who you can't marry, and what zera Avram will allow Yitzchak to get married to, and all this journey to a distant land just so he should have married Benos Kenan. What happens if the woman says no? What happens if Eliezer comes back empty-handed? So Avram says to the Eved, "V'nikisa m'shvua sizels." You're relieved from the shvua. Rashi says, okay, so what will the other choice be? Yitzchak will marry Aner Eshkol Mamre's child or daughter. Avram says, that's not what's happening. It's impossible. Avram does not want Yitzchak to marry anyone from Benos Kenan, even Aner Eshkol Mamre, even his good friends, especially Mamre, who hosted him, most according to Chazal, was in line with the Bris, who had seen Malachim in his home, who had hosted the Gilu Shechina. What you see here is as follows, that the question of which Zera will be chosen and who Yitzchak can marry because of that, it's not a meritocracy, it's not discriminatory, it's not who's righteous and who's not righteous. Hashem chose Zera Shem and cursed Zera Cham. And even if Zera Cham, people from Canaan was the son of Cham, are tzaddikim and they deserve Schar and Olam Haba, and they're righteous people. Hashem creates certain divisions, and those divisions have to be preserved, even to the point of traveling far away on camels in far away land. And just to punctuate this point, Avram himself marries a woman from Canaan. Vayikach isha shma keturah, the Ramban says, I don't know where he gets this from, she was either from Benos Canaan, or she was in Benos Mitzrayim, especially if she was Hagar, so Hagar came from Mitzrayim. So this isn't a judgment call about whether women from Canaan or women from Mitzrayim are righteous women, deserve to be Avram's wife. It's a question of Yitzchak has been chosen as the Zera, Kibitzli Karlach Zera, and perpetuating that Zera requires a Zera Baruch, not a Zera Aron. You know, a lot of people today have a hard time with a lot of parts of Judaism that feel racist and bigoted, and why can't you intermarry? It's all just the same DNA, and who are you to say you're better than other people? And especially in non-Orthodox circles, sometimes this is, the further you get from Orthodox, this becomes a very, very abrasive issue, because it sounds so condescending and sounds so discriminatory. And it's not discriminatory. There could be divisions that Hashem creates in his world, and those, I don't like to use the word separate but equal, because A, it's not separate but equal, because it carries such pejorative connotations, but Hashem creates divisions, and those divisions don't always have to be seen as discriminatory. Balance, equality, justice does not mean erasing divisions, and that's something which obviously we can apply to many, many, many areas of your life, many, many areas of our culture and our society. Hashem wants there to be division. That's the whole story with Korach. Hashem says, Gvulo sam Hashem b'olamo. Just because Hashem creates divisions doesn't mean that it's unjust. I'm a man, but I'm not a Kohen, so there are things that I can't perform. And a woman is not a man. And Hashem created space for everyone to exist within and to excel within their space. And it's hard for us to understand why Hashem made those decisions. So you see that the contrast between Avram slamming his fist, according to Ramban, and saying, I don't want you to, Nikisim Yeshuas, he's also, I don't know, maybe my daughter will marry Lot. Maybe my son will marry Lot's daughter or something, Rashi says. Ramban says, who else? Or other nations. So, but don't let her marry anyone from Benos Kenan, even Aner Eshkol Mamre. For me, that's a different story. Yitzchak has already been chosen. I now have another wife, and that's fine. And I'm sure she was at Tzadikas Keturah, and I'm going to take her into the home. So you're not gauging here righteousness versus criminality. You're gauging who is the Zera that Hashem wants to build Am Yisrael from. And that's why I have to be so, so careful about intermarriage. And it's so painful. It's literally walking out of Jewish identity. A person sins, a person wanders, a person veers, those are all part of human experience. Once you walk out on this Jewish identity, it's the biggest slap in the face. It's the biggest slam in the door on Jewish history and what Hashem was trying to create by the Zera Hanifa. Okay, another interesting Ramban. Where does Yitzchak go to Davin? So Yitzchak ba mivo be'er lachai roi. He had traveled to be'er lachai roi. What is he doing in be'er lachai roi? So the Ramban says, because he had heard there was a malach there. Now, who did the malach come to visit at Be'er Lachai Ro'i in Parshas Vayera? Yishmael and Hagar, not Yitzchak. So first of all, it's interesting, if he's looking for a malach cave or a malach cove, why don't he go to Yishalayim, where he himself saw the malach? Probably because at this point he's living in Be'er Sheva. So it's a lot easier to go to Be'er L'chai Ro'i, which is near Be'er Sheva, because that's where Hagar and Yishmael went, getting close to Mitzrayim. So it's easier to travel to Yerucham, let's say, from Be'er Sheva, than it is to travel all the way to Yishalayim and to go back to Har Moriah. Okay, so that's probably the logistics, why he chooses Be'er L'chai Ro'i. Chazal reading that maybe he was visiting Yishmael, he still wants to try to keep tabs on Yishmael, who may have been living in Be'er L'chai Ro'i, having been finally escorted out of Avram's camp. But what's interesting about the Ramban is, what do you mean? This was a treif malach. This is a treif malach. This is a malach that came to view my brother, who's a Rasha, Yishmael, my evil brother, Yishmael. This is not a place that I should visit. This is not a place. What you see is that Yitzchak doesn't criminalize, in a binary sense, Yishmael. Yishmael had to be sent away. Yishmael was mitzachei. Yishmael was whatever influence could be Yitzchak yichar lechazara. But Yishmael encountered a malach. And Yishmael had been heard by Hashem, Kishem Hashem, Kolan Arba Shehusham. And just because, like I said before, not because they're a nifchar, or even if he's someone that can't achieve the level of tzidkus that Yitzchak is expected to achieve, he doesn't read it binary. He's, oh, he's a Rasha, I want nothing to do with him. He's a, maybe a Rasha, or maybe not a Rasha, I don't know where Yishmael is at this stage, but even so, a Malach visited him, and that's a religious experience, and that makes it a religious site, and I want to go in and visit it. Again, that's not in terms of halacha. You can't enter a church, you can't enter a mosque, obviously, because there's an Issa. But we don't denounce other religions. Again, it's not really another religion, because he's not building another religion, he's encountering a malach. But it's the same concept, that even that any attempt to reach a Kadosh Baruch Hu and to reach out to that spiritual other, there's an attempt that we value. Again, it's different, I'm comparing apples and oranges, but structurally it's similar. And Yitzchak doesn't say, oh, this is Yishmael, and what does Yishmael have to do with Malachim? And that place has already been dubbed as an unholy place, and I don't want to be there. It's fascinating that he goes there, because that is the place that Yishmael encountered the Malach. One final Ramban, one of the very interesting pasuk, the Avram Zaken Baba Yamim, Vashem Berach Zavram Bakol, it's in the beginning of the Parsha. In the end of the Parsha, he's not just described as Zaken, Vashem Berach Zavram Bakol, but there's a new word that enters into the pasuk. Zaken Visavea. When is Zaken Visavea? When he had a big meal, he went to a burger's bar, had a big hamburger, Zaken Visavea. So the truth is that word Savea also appears in David HaMelech. David HaMelech is described in the beginning of, towards the end of his life, so he's described as Zaken Visavea. So the Ramban says this is basically someone that has reached the point that they have no longer any desires in this world. Partially because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them what they need, partially because they've worked on themselves. And Seveh is not just an objective state that you have everything you want. That's Berach HaSavram Bakol. But Seveh is more psychological, 99% psychological, that you have what you need and you're not concerned that it's Black Friday and you need a new tablet and you need a new Google device and you're comfortable, you don't long, you're not chasing your desires. You're Seveh. Like, remember the last time, I don't know if you can remember it, when you weren't hungry. Last time you're completely Seveh. You just didn't care about food. Someone could put out some food in front of you. You probably wouldn't make for later, you'll take it, but you wouldn't take it right now. It just doesn't interest you. So Avraham reached the point where just it didn't interest him. Again, in part because of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu had delivered to him, in part because of his attitude. And the Medrash comments, and this is part of it, Rabbi quotes the Medrash, and very often in the Ramban, you have a kaleidoscope between the Pshat and the Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him Olam Haba, his real schar. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm saying, showed him Olam Haba, that also helped him reach a state where he wasn't running after the desires of this world, because he glimpsed eternity. And when he glimpsed eternity, it put this world into context. So obviously you're young, and you're not at the stage where you're going to reach that point, but glimpsing eternity and thinking about eternity is a way to contextualize this world and all of its pizzazz and all of its glitz and all of its desires. So Avram reached the stage where mentally and psychologically he was Saveya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him everything he needs. He wasn't sitting there striving or yearning for anything. Even his son Yitzchak already had a wife. So that state of we call Shlemos. In Yiddish it's called Galeich. It's the hardest trait to reach. Hashem Berach Avram Bakol, where there's no longer turmoil. There's all something you see very righteous older people who reach that stage. I don't know if you met someone like that. There's no turmoil. There's no ferment. There's no struggle. There's no... They reach the point where life has, we say, become easy, not easy, but life has become very, very smooth and spiritual and consistent. And that's what Avram reached, in part because he saw Olam Haba. So three different interesting tidbits in the Ramban. Number one, there's no discriminatory policy here. Yitzchak can't marry Benos Kenan, even if the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Kenan's daughter. Mom is the Rosh Hashiva, can't marry their daughter. Avram can. Nothing wrong with Avram taking Keturah. Keturah, Chazal praise him. Kodesh Baruch Hu created Zera Nifchar, so Kodesh Baruch Hu discriminated between Shem and Cham. We have to work within the boundaries Hashem created, not to remake the boundaries or redraw the borders within those boundaries. But it doesn't mean we just Chas Hashem discriminate. Avram didn't discriminate. Amram is his best friend. Probably has a chavrus with him, right? He marries Keturah. He has some Egyptian father-in-law, or is an older person as an Egyptian father-in-law, or some Canaanite father-in-law. There's no disparaging statement made about Canaan in this parasha about the marriage. It's just Hashem chose Shem as Zera Nifchar, and Avram's family, children of Shem, were back in Aram Naharaim. Number two, Yitzchak visits the site of Yishmael's encounter with the angel. Number three is that Avram reaches the point of Saveah, not just Hashem Berachas Avram Bakol, but mentally he's no longer chasing. He's in a state where he's content. That's a very important trait to try to reach your life. You're not going to fully reach it, but to be content with what you have. Not to always be chasing. Now again, you want to have ambition, you want to have aspiration. Where do you draw the line between contentment and something which would be called, I think, a negative trait, complacency and inertia and lack of drive? But inner content, if you asked me to define simcha, I wouldn't say joy and happiness, because those are fleeting emotions. I would say contentment. You're content with what you have, and you're in your groove, and you're not looking to be anyone else. Okay? Have a great day, everyone. She will be 48:50.